Behold, revel and glory, for thine ears have landed upon Audible Gold. It's time for the June 18th edition of the Femme Fatale Show, featuring me, Leslie Gornstein, your host. You never thought your ears could drool until you started listening to me talk just now, did you? It's practically Pavlovian, the slavering thirst my listeners and I have for the truth behind the entertainment industry, the trade secrets, the gossip, the way stars really live. And what makes it all so much more delicious is the way that each and every nugget of truth you get is inspired by a question you listeners and readers have asked me. And that makes me happy on two levels. It means you care, and it means you can read. Now, this week we've got some high quality nerdery because it's, you know, I almost said Superman week, but the new Superman movie doesn't really use the word Superman, so I'll say emo Man of Steel week.
Oh, there's no reference to Superman?
Very, very little. It's the new DC hero movie, I'm just going to say that, out in theaters, and people are all talking about it and asking questions about whether essentially they should like it or not. My fans are writing in asking why Superman has gotten so Christy over the years, how and why he got so Christastic, and I found out. Plus, we'll talk about some of the incredibly craven marketing moves that DC is using to attract the movie-going dollar of thems who love Jesus. My sound engineer turned me on to this. You're not gonna believe it. And by Jesus, I do not mean Jay-Z or Kanye West, no matter what their albums say to the contrary. I mean the flying Jesus who flew up on a cloud, who made wine and got arrested. That one. Also, I have a very high-class cage match for one. I understand. Ooh, you don't have a cage match today. You don't have a single celebrity sighting. We haven't seen each other in like 3 weeks.
I know. I feel like the second that we hit end, I'm going to remember.
Uh-huh.
For now, I
probably
don't remember.
All right. Fine. Another reader writes in with a terrifying vision of the future of movie theaters. Oh. And a Catholic priest has written in.
What?
Asking me about the timing of the end of the world, at least when it comes to Will Smith.
Oh, not
I'm a tackle it all. I'm a tackle it.
Not priest grinder that's going around the Vatican.
Oh, come on. You really, is there actually, like, there's not literally a priest grinder app?
Yeah, there's a stories out right now about this sort of covert network of homosexual friendly Vatican dwellers.
No, that I heard about, like the salon and everything. But is there an app involved? Because if there's an app involved, that's a whole new level.
Yeah.
Is there an app?
I will link you. I will tweet you.
No. An actual app that's like Vatican Grinder Homo Right Here.com. Like, is there something for your phone that's like Vatican Gayness?
I'm not entirely certain it's for the phone. I will report back with all right. more digital.
I mean, if it's for the laptop, what's the point? You're not going to walk around being gay with your laptop being like, I'm looking. You won't need... No. Anyway, that person speaking is Baby Vegas. Say hello.
Hi.
Now, you're sure you don't have a cage match?
It's brain empty.
Okay, that's fine. I'm about to outclass you anyway. I would have outclassed you anyway. It's fine that you don't step into the arena. You'll live to fight another day. Let me tell you about the star sighting I had.
Please.
I went to, have you ever been to Kraft?
No.
Have you heard tell of Kraft?
No.
Have you heard tell of Tom Colicchio?
No.
Tom Colicchio, if you've ever seen a competitive chefing food show, Tom Colicchio, you probably know Tom Colicchio. He's often a judge on these food shows, and he owns and operates this highfalutin restaurant, sort of near Century City-ish, called Kraft. Now, Kraft, even for a lunch, you're talking about like a $26 salmon.
Oh.
You have a choice of sides of different kinds of fresh mushrooms, including a hen of the woods for $16.
Ooh.
You can get, I sent my husband a list of the Bordeaux prices for a bottle. It was like $300 bottle of Bordeaux for your power lunch kind of a thing. And I'm working on confirming a rumor about this place. I'm really hoping I get to confirm this rumor. But the point is, it's a very fancy power lunch agent kind of place. And I'm having lunch with a source, and I keep looking over to this very striking-looking man. Very striking-looking. And this is what he kind of looks like. Dark hair, very light eyes, white guy. Imagine, like, the type of guy who's in a commercial for a high-end car, like a Lexus, okay? And there's always that scene in the car commercial where you're in, like, a Swiss chalet that's like a minimalist Swiss chalet. And there's a woman who like walks toward the window, and there's a man in the background with a bottle of wine. And, you know, he always looks kind of all ruggedly handsome, but kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's what he looked like.
Okay.
That guy from the car commercial. It was director Tom Tykwer. Tom Tykwer, did you like Run Lola Run?
I have not yet
seen. Oh, Jesus Christ, why are you sitting here? I don't even know why I tolerate you. Did you see Cloud Atlas?
I did. I love Cloud Atlas.
Of course you did. Okay. Cloud Atlas, he also did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But Run Lola Run, I give up. Anyway, that's who I saw.
Ooh, and he's stunningly handsome.
He's a very good-looking guy. Mm. Yes. And he used to date Franca Potenti.
Oh.
You don't know who Franca Potenti is. Don't pretend.
She's
okay.
Lola, right?
What? She's Lola, yes. And she was in the original A Born Identity. They used to date back during the Run Lola Run days.
See, I know some things about a lot of things.
You know some things about quite a bit. Just not enough for me to... All right, now that I've done that, now that I've won the podcast, I proceed to my victory lap with the Woo! First reader question. Go ahead.
Okay.
Read upon it.
All right. Jen Bergstrom and Father Shane Ian Tharp ask via Facebook, is it just me or does the Superman story just not quite fit with modern sensibilities? He just seems so earnest and well-adjusted compared to, say, Iron Man. Love you, Tony Stark. Schuster, the creator, mentioned being inspired by the Jewish fable of the Golem and... of the Golem. In the last two films, I push hard the Christ-like dimensions of the character. It could feel out of touch because Christ feels out of touch to a modern audience.
I cribbed this question out of a conversation that I was having on Facebook with a couple of readers. And I said, hey, this sounds like a question to me. Do you mind if I crib it into it? Which is why it's two people.
Oh, okay. I like it. I like it.
I like it, too. Now, at first sight, this question may not make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. After all, the opening weekend box office for Man of Steel has set a record.
Whoa, really?
Bringing in $125 million. It's a record for June openings. Mm. $125 million, meaning that plenty of people do not think this film is out of touch, at least the first time they saw it. Is there going to be a sharp drop-off? It's too soon to say. But plenty of critics do have a problem with this movie, mm-hmm. calling it leaden, joyless, plodding, overly symbolic.
Ooh.
And they're not necessarily wrong. I mean, Jesus Christ. If you can see through Lois Lane's shirt and you can see her boobs, if you have a fortress made out of ice, if you have heat vision and cold breath and you can frickin' fly, right. Smile a little. Have a good frickin' time. And you look like Henry Cavill.
You're right.
I would find a couple reasons to be happy.
Some people have three jobs and they're still smiling.
And they're still calm down, and you know what? My husband looked by, like, he was looking at the Henry Cavill billboards, and he's like, why does he look so miserable in every set? And I'm like, I don't know, because he can see Lois's boobs. Anyway, director Zack Snyder himself has said that there's a lot of very deliberate Christian symbolism in the new movie.
Oh.
Kal-El is 33 years old when he reaches his crisis.
That's Superman?
Yes. He leaps through the air in a Christ-like pose. He visits a church and stands in front of a stained glass window depicting the Garden of Gethsemane. He gets betrayed and arrested. It's no accident, according to Zack Snyder. Now get this. Marketers for this movie are so aware of the Christian themes that they're trying to use that angle to go after the churchgoer market.
Ooh.
So there's definitely something Christy going on with this movie, mm-hmm. and this question has a point. According to a reporter at IO9, Warner Brothers paid a theologian at Pepperdine University to prepare a 9-page set of sermon notes for ministers who want to preach about Man of Steel. Not Superman. Man of Steel, the movie.
Wow.
And it's titled Jesus, the Original Superhero. The sermon notes ask how much of the story of Superman's awakens our passion for the greatest hero who ever lived and died and rose again. And then the sermon includes stuff about the themes and ideas of the Man of Steel, after which the pastor is encouraged to say, open quote, let's take a look at the trailer for Man of Steel.
Dang.
At church. Praise him. All this said, the debate goes on. Ask one Superman fan this kind of question, you get two answers. I was honored to find Golden Apple Comics resident expert Seek Donnelly, the perfect person to address this reader question. We are speaking with Seek Donnelly of the iconic Golden Apple Comics in Los Angeles. He also has his own podcast, about Superman called Up, Up, and Away. We're going to get details on where to find that in a minute. Seek Donnelly, welcome to my show.
Thanks for having me.
And what is the name of your blog one more time? You also have a blog, of course.
I do. Actually, it's just seekdonnelly.com now. I just started building it, so it's not ready yet, but it will be soon.
Now, this week, someone writes in, actually two people wrote in with sort of a combination question slash conversation that I found very interesting about Man of Steel. And you being obviously a Superman expert, I thought you'd be the perfect person to answer this question. Is it just us, or does the Superman story just not quite fit in with modern sensibilities? He just seems so earnest and well-adjusted compared to, say, Iron Man. And then there's a parenthetical, love you, Tony Stark. Schuster, the creator, mentioned being inspired by the Jewish fable of the Golem, and the last two films have pushed hard the Christ-like dimensions of the character. It could feel out of touch because Christ feels out of touch to a modern audience. Now, the box office numbers obviously are not in yet as we record this. This could obviously be a massive hit by the time my podcast airs. But we do know this. The critics, they're very mixed reviews. We're looking at a 59% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. And that's all I'm going to say. Take it away.
Oh, well, first of all, it's an honor to be here. And
Thank you, Seek.
Yeah. It's a good question. It takes a lot of thought put into it. You're right. He was, I think Schuster was inspired by Golem, obviously. He mentioned that, but I think it even goes beyond that. I think he was also inspired by, you know, obviously characters like Hercules and Gilgamesh and all these really great stories about, you know, maybe even Prometheus, you know, who stole fire from the gods to give it to the humans. You know, there's all these great stories that I think Superman pulls from, maybe directly or indirectly in many ways. And the Christ-like element, I mean, yeah, again, like you said, it's kind of a hodgepodge of questions, but they're very relevant to each other. There's, like, I don't know, I grew up Catholic. I think I always saw that in Superman ever since I was a kid, you know, with the Richard Donner movies, even though they didn't really brush on it. But I always took away, like, his last name was El, like Kal-El, and mm-hmm. Most angels or archangels in heaven end with El in their name, Gabriel, Michael, you know. So I always thought that was there, you know, someone sending their last son down to Earth to save us. I feel like that was always in it from the beginning. And I think the reason sometimes people just assume that it's a metaphor for, you know, a Jewish immigrant, you know, or something like along those lines is because the creators are Jewish. And I don't know if I always saw it. I think I just always saw it as an immigrant in general. It wasn't specific to, you know, whether he was Jewish or if it was Irish or Italian. I think it was something everyone at that time could relate to.
That's what I've read too. Timothy Nauer in PV has argued that they crafted an immigrant figure, quote, whose desire was to fit into the American culture as an American.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, he changed his name. You know, you got a more human name to it. There's all those elements. As far as the Christ-like imagery and whether Christ is irrelevant nowadays, and maybe that's why Superman is irrelevant. I don't know. I personally don't feel it, but I'm also a bad judge of character, apparently. I think Superman always has to be good. I think he always has to have those ideals. And I think you can upgrade him or adjust him to fit into the times, but I think at the end of the day, at his core, he still has to have those ideals. Still has to stand for something, and he still has to be something that we should all aspire to be. And you know, whether you want to put that in with the Christ territory, you want to put that in with Gandhi, about a man who teaches love and peace, like wherever you want to kind of place him, whatever box makes the most sense to you, I would say as long as those ideals are the same, the character is true to the character.
Let me ask you this. I, as a Superman historian, which is pretty much what you are, I have never seen so much Christ imagery attached to Superman as I have this year. And you saw the film, so you're gonna back this up. There's a scene where he leaps through the air and he's got his hands out in sort of a Christ on the cross like pose. The character is 33 years old, which is the age when Jesus was betrayed and sent to the cross. I believe there's a scene where Kal-El / Clark Kent goes for some advice in a church, and there's a big scene. A window, stained glass window, depicting Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, how did this happen? Has this evolution in Christ been, I mean, in Superman been happening for a long time, or is this relatively new?
I mean, I feel like it has been there, maybe not as blatant as it seems like people are really looking for it in this one, which is funny because everyone did the same thing with Superman Returns. Everyone found these same iconic images and they were like, oh, this is very Christ-like. This is very Christ-like.
Well,
this
actually, Zack Snyder has said he's a Christ-like figure. He said.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And then it also comes down to the filmmakers making it. I don't think they represent, you know, just because they're the people in charge and making the decisions, I don't think they represent fully, you know, the character. They're putting their spin on him. And if Zack Snyder's interpretation of Superman is a Christ-like figure, then that's what he's going to represent on screen. And a lot of people ignore too is what I liked about the scene in the movie where he talks to the priest is one, I feel like from a character standpoint, it makes sense. I mean, Superman grew up in Kansas. It's you know, kind of not exactly the Bible Belt, but definitely a lot of, you know, religious, you know, like a lot of people that are religious and spiritual in that area. I feel like a character who is lost in general and doesn't have a father figure to talk to, I think it just made sense for the character to go talk to somebody like that, someone he could trust, because obviously the priest isn't going to, they have a vow to not, you know, turn him in. But what I also thought was interesting is in the credits, they actually credit the priest as Father Leon, who is a character from a Superman comic called For Tomorrow by Brian Azzarello and Jim Lee. So I really looked at that more as a nod to that amazing story arc in that book, which I love.
So a lot of this could actually just be homage to Superman history. Not Christian imagery. And a lot of people are mashing up the two because, like you said, they're looking for what they're looking for.
Right, exactly. That's the thing is everyone's going to take away. That's the beauty of movies and books and everything is you're gonna find your thing to click with, and that's what you're going to take away from the film. So what I took away was, oh, cool, it's Father Leon from For Tomorrow. And I didn't really take away the, oh, he's in a church and they're really driving this Christ thing home. Although the 33 did make me smile for that reason.
Well, let me ask you this. There's also sort of a feeling of Kal-El's time in the wilderness, much like Jesus' time in the wilderness when he's off on that fishing trawler. That's yes. Clearly, you know, Jesus' time in the wilderness. Is that something that's been common in Superman's history in the past, or is that also a new element?
It depends on which era.
Go through some eras with me, see.
Well, there's my favorite Superman origin story is actually a book by Mark Waid and Lionel Francis Yu, which is called Superman Birthright. And it's actually one of the more recent origin stories. It came out right after Smallville had aired. So it's a story where Superman and Lex Luthor and Clark Kent are friends early, and it kind of bridges off of that. And so in that story, it has that. It has Clark kind of traveling the world. He's left Smallville. He doesn't know his place in the world, so he decides to look for a place in the world, and he goes to all over the place. He goes to Africa, and he gets involved there. You know, he goes to different countries. You know, these are all stories that, again, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, the fisherman thing was a little, I'm like, okay, that's kind of Jesus, obviously. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, his traveling and looking for his identity, I'm like, oh, that's A, lifted from Birthright, and two, it's also lifted from Batman Begins in a way. So I was kind of like, oh, it's David Goyer kind of treading in familiar territory, but also that's a story that just people know. Everyone at some point in their life, especially around that age, need to find out who they are and what kind of person they're going to be. And that's kind of the message of the movie. That's what Jonathan Kent tells them. That's what Jor-El kind of tells them. So I feel like that was also just a natural progression of the character's journey.
Okay, great. And final question, the sort of the Christ on the cross imagery that we see when Henry Cavill's leaping through the air. Do we have a history of that in Superman comics as well?
Yeah, I think, the funny answer is probably, I think you just run out of poses to do when you're flying.
so this really does sound like, the message I keep getting here is people will see Christ where they want to see Christ. They will see Jesus in a cracker. They will see Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw someone actually just yesterday, Mark Andreyko, who's a friend of mine, posted a picture of a dog's butt, and there's actually like what seems to be an image of Jesus with his hands out.
I saw that image of the dog butt with his hands out. As a matter of fact, maybe we'll try to put that on the podcast.
Right, and it's funny because I was like, I don't see it.
I definitely saw Christ in that dog's ass. I did.
Awesome.
Zeke Donnelly, thank you so much for doing my podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was great.
And we're back. Baby Vegas.
Yes.
Ask the next question.
All right, Mojo Danjo asks via email, somebody told me that the price of movie theater tickets is expected to get so high that it'll be like going to a Broadway show. Where's this rumor coming from, and is it true, or is it an urban legend?
It depends on whom you ask. There are reports out there indicating that Ragnarok is coming for fans of reasonably priced movies.
Yikes.
Paramount Pictures. This is where I think this is where the paranoia is coming from. I want to ask you a question. Would you pay $50?
No.
You don't even know yet. Stevie Nicks could be performing live. You don't even know.
All right, I take it back.
Right.
Keep going.
To see an advanced screening of World War Z that pays for the advanced screening, a download or streaming version of the flick when it gets released on DVD, a quote-unquote custom 3D glasses set, and a limited edition poster and popcorn.
Yeah.
You would pay would pay that?
Personally, no.
No.
But
Stevie Nicks sings a set.
Oh, done.
And does blow off your ass.
Done. Okay. Double done. $100.
That is happening in some cities around the United States, including Philadelphia, Atlanta, and Houston. I don't mean the Stevie Nicks thing. I mean the offering of this price. If you're listening from one of those cities, I would be curious as to whether you'd pay for that. Now, meanwhile, there is this bit of hysteria from George Jar Jar Binks Lucas.
Tweeter at Fame Fatale says with your answer.
Oh, look at you earning money I didn't pay you. Look at you. This is what George Lucas told the press recently. Open quote. You're going to, I'm not going to do his voice, which is kind of like this, but he says, you're going to end up with fewer theaters, bigger theaters with a lot of nice things. Going to the movies will cost $50 or $100 or $150, like what Broadway costs today, or a football game. It'll be an expensive thing. The movies will sit in theaters for a year, like a Broadway show does. That will be called the movie business. Close quote.
Horrible. That sounds horrible.
Jar Jar Binks. The dire prediction has gotten one man all head up. And it's a man whose head-uppedness actually matters in this business. That person is Jeff Bock, who analyzes box office for Exhibitor Relations. He just went off when I asked him about this. He went off an email. He went back with this long answer. And then he's like, sorry for my long answer. I'm like, no, this is gold. First, let's talk about the $50 World War Z ticket, because that's a separate phenomenon. And yes, that is the future. Mm-hmm. But this is what he tells me. What's changing before our eyes are new promotions from exhibitors and the studios themselves designed to lure in specific demographics, like fanboys, hardcore genre fans, and let's face it, the 1%. Mm. $50 a ticket is outrageous, yes, he says, but the patrons that will be dishing out that kind of cash are the ones with fat wallets and or people who believe the extra swag is worth the increased ticket prices. So
there you go.
That is the future, but not for you and me. It's for your rich friend.
Totally.
With the big house in Beverly Hills or the Hollywood Hills who invites you over twice a year and then escorts you out.
We all have a couple of those.
That said, Bock tells me, quote, people love their movies, me included. And if anyone starts making $50 or $100 the norm, then you better believe the people will riot in the streets. And therefore, there will be a real revolution, R-E-E-L. Wah, wah. That or everyone will just wait until movies arrive at Redbox for $1.20. Best deal ever.
Oh my God, it's up to $1.20.
Look, you know what's not $1.20? The way that sometimes a movie will occasionally accidentally fall onto my computer. And honestly, if movies play, my point is that piracy will go up, is what I'm saying, is that you know that piracy is also going to go up. If that's what happens, you're just asking people to pirate. And right. I think the industry knows that. Honestly, Bock says if movies played in theaters for upwards of a year, you're damn right, piracy would be an issue. It would be 1,000 times worse than it is now. Close quote. Can you hear the people sing? I think we got time for one more question.
Let's do it.
How are we doing, sound engineer? We're doing good? All right. Go ahead.
All right. Father Shane in Oklahoma asks.
Oh, he's going to double dip. This is great. I love Father Shane. Father Shane's been with us since the beginning, by the way, since before you were born, son.
Whoa. Yep. Hey, Father Shane.
Father Shane.
You're asking via Facebook, can we measure the standard unit of flying stacks of cash in Will Smith's, or did After Earth end A-list status for Will?
The reason why, by the way, why Father Shane gets to double dip is he's in Oklahoma. Things were leveled very near him.
Uh-huh.
And even though he himself was not leveled, I couldn't find anybody whose house was leveled who had a question for me, so it's gonna... anyway, now.
There we go, Father Shane.
The answer to this question is no. Will Smith's A-list status is intact. And I know this because I already researched this for another publication earlier this month. I can do that. Ooh, I am so feared.
You can double dip yourself.
I can double dip. I am so feared in this town? The short answer to this question, again, is no. Will Smith's status really isn't expected to be all that bruised up by his thinly failed Scientology parable disaster.
Is it a thinly veiled Scientology parable?
Poorly. I would say thinly veiled. I would say extremely thinly veiled, like gossamer veiled, like spider web veiled.
I heard it was a disaster, but...
Box office disaster, yes.
Wow.
There are some quiet whispers of cracks in his A-list super skin. A source told me that he recently took an all-cash deal to make a movie, which is a step down from a deal that gets you points off the movie gross. You know, you know the difference, right? Uh-huh. Like points off of gross versus losing. Somebody just handing you a bunch of money. And so that is technically a minor step down, but even that isn't really a terribly scary thing these days when lots of actors are taking pay cuts just to work.
Mm-hmm.
Long time and alert listeners of my podcast know about the Ulmer scale.
Mm-hmm.
The index estimates the likelihood, follow me along, that an actor will make a producer's money back in pre-sales before a single frame of a movie has been shot.
Wow.
So in other words, will the presence of that actor guarantee that I'll be able to make all my money back just in pre-distribution deals around the world before I've even shot anything?
Wow.
That's what the Ulmer scale says.
From theaters, et cetera?
Yes. Like if I hire you, JJ, and I pay you this much and my budget is $100 million,
mm-hmm.
if I put you in my movie, what is the likelihood that I will get my $100 million back before I even start shooting with you? Okay?
Wow.
Just by nailing distribution deals in Asia, in France, in Russia.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the way it works these days, is they'll just say Will Smith movie, and Russia be like, I want Will Smith movie. Yes, does he eat cabbage? Yes, you give me, yes.
So these actors obviously use this to their advantage as well, right?
Of course. They say, we know you're getting financing just because of my name, so I want points off gross, unless you're not.
Damn.
Smith has an Ulmer score of 100. That means that based on research, if I'm a movie producer, and I hire him to do my movie, I have 100% chance of earning all my money back before I've even shot with Will Smith.
Wow.
Just through deals to distribute in Moldova. Got it?
Oh my God, I just heard, by the way, that's so funny that you mentioned Moldova.
Oh, are you watching Family Tree?
Oh no, I do need to watch. I heard a terrifying story of this couple that met in a tuberculosis hospital, and now she's pregnant and he's stuck and medication will not work. Thank you, NPR. Very gripping, very haunting.
And completely relevant to what I'm talking about. So Bonnie Gillespie of Cricket Feet put it to me this way. The amount of fucked upness that would have to happen to completely take Smith off the rails is huge.
Oh.
Everybody gets their Geely, but you are allowed to screw up in this town if you're clean to begin with. Right now, Smith cannot fuck enough to have this be a career killer. After Earth could be his Ishtar, and right now it doesn't matter. Producers still hear Will Smith, and the checks will clear.
Whoa.
Will Smith we want in Moldova.
Right.
All right?
Now,
if he starts jumping on couches, that is a different story.
Oh.
Now, all that said, I believe that I've exhausted my brain for the night. What do you think? Have I given up to the kids enough information? Then why don't you tell them how to reach me?
All right. They can reach you at the Femme Fatale via Twitter at Femme Fatale Says.
Yes.
Or you can email Leslie at thefemmefatale.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that's Leslie at thefemmefatale.com.
Right.
Or you can leave a comment on her blog at www.thefemmefatale.com. Or you can find her on Facebook and talk to her there, like Father Ian.
Yeah, Shane Ian.
Shane Ian. Mm-hmm. Also, if you can't stand waiting for her weekly podcast, which, duh, you can't, you should know that she updates her blog with tidbits of deliciousness to keep you tided over. And once again, that's www.thefemmefatale.com.
Now, I know you're starting about 40 blogs, and you just told me about another blog that you're going to start, but you're not going to start.
Where can people find you, Baby Vegas? They can find me at Baby Vegas with a Z on Twitter.
Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you, listeners, for joining me. This has been another edition of my show. We will see you soon.